And for this week's Monday Expert feature, I'm very excited to welcome to the show lingerie designer Chloe Julian. Hello there.
Hi there.
Chloe has worked for Rihanna's lingerie line, Savage X Fenty.
That's right, yeah.
Stella McCartney for Bendon, Asian provocateur in London, and she recently launched her own brand, Vidaris Lingerie.
Yep.
Nice to have you in, and I've got some great questions for you as well from listeners. Let's just barrel into one of them because I quite like this. If you've got a question about lingerie for our expert, you can text me on 2101. Lisa says, we've sent a rover to Mars and we can build buildings over 800 metres tall, so why can't we engineer a new offering for well-endowed women? I'd love to know why there's such underrepresentation in the industry for women with a bust over a DD cup. It's like shopping only for veggies in the supermarket. One is relegated to the back wall of a regular lingerie store, forever denied the colourful lacy confections taking centre stage. And she goes on. Do you have a view on this?
That's actually a question I get asked quite a lot as a lingerie designer. We can design them for a bigger busted woman. And I think for the brand that I've got at the moment, we're going up to a sort of an E cup because I'm not using a wire. But I guess the main problem is that the type of componentry that's needed and needs to be graded up. So for me, doing it in my brand, I would need to grade all my components up to another modulus. So for smaller brands that are starting out and trying to do something different, you simply don't have the capacity to offer that bigger range to start with because you just don't have the buying ability.
You can only do up to a certain size without completely changing your
setup. Yeah, so within my range, I already change all my componentry once between medium and large, so all the elastics increase by 2 millimetres, which seems like such a small amount, but it actually makes quite a big difference to the modulus, which is the strength and the capacity of load of the elastic.
Yeah.
So if I was to go up again above an extra large, I'd have to go up again and again. So I guess for me, it's something I'd love to do. Just with a small brand starting out, I can only sort of do so much because we have such high minimums on these materials because there's so many components in a bra. I've got like 10 in mine.
Okay, so when you're talking about being a lingerie designer, how much is art, how much is science, how much is engineering? I mean, what's going into a construction of an item like this?
It's all of it, really. I think for me, when I started my first job at Bendon, we designed, but we also had to pattern cut all our own bras. So at that point, there was a sample room within New Zealand, which is like a massive luxury these days. You don't really have the opportunity to design and have the machinists and these women making your first samples who are just so knowledgeable and know everything right there within the office. So that's how I learned. So whenever I'm designing something, I'm always thinking of how the pattern will go together. So it's kind of a mixture. It's sort of you're thinking sort of the 3D end effect of your 2D drawing and how that's going to work. So you want it to look good, you want it to function, and when you're designing it, you have to think about all that at the same time.
What goes into a bra?
What, material-wise?
Yeah, no, not literally. How do you build a bra from scratch?
So, I mean, I guess traditionally most people think of a bra as having a wire as the foundation of the bra, which is the two round wire shapes that sort of hold the breasts. And that was actually first patented back in 1893, and nothing's really changed since then.
Mm.
So what I'm doing is I'm actually taking the wire away because I think we can create something that doesn't need it. But really you need, a supportive fabric. I'm quite crazy about having the right kind of elastics. So it's very easy to say you have one elastic that's used throughout the entire bra. But I think it's important that the underbust has the strongest elastic, the underarm has like a secondary strength, and then the lightest elastic is used on the neckline of the bra. So that's three different elastics. Then you have a strap elastic, so that's four. You've got your outer fabric, that's five things. You've got the hook and eye. You've got a slider and a ring for your strap to allow like really good adjustment. And then you have a stabilizer on the inside and a power mesh usually within the wing to add extra support. So all those components are sort of what goes into creating that one garment. And then if you were doing something that was maybe more designed, you might have a whole lot of embellishment on top of that as well.
So heaps of engineering in there.
Yeah, there is.
How did you learn to put it all together?
I studied at Massey, actually, fashion, and we did a whole component on lingerie. And then when I got my first job at Bendon, they hired 4 graduates at the same time, and they spent quite a lot of time really grooming us and training us. So for me, it's what I've always done. It's what I've always trained in and become quite specialised. I feel really fortunate that they hired us at that time and really were thinking about hiring graduates and really training them.
And can you give us a sort of a potted history of your career since then?
Yeah, so I started off at Bendon. And I worked on a brand called Hey Sister at that time, which no longer exists, but probably a lot of women will remember it. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of did my 2 years and headed off overseas and ended up in London. And I ended up actually working back for Bendon in London on the Stella McCartney lingerie. They had recently got that license, and they were sort of having a bit of trouble between New Zealand and the UK and the time difference there. And I had happened to land there, so my boss was like, "Chloe, can you do this?" And I'm like, "Of course, yeah." Who wouldn't?
Was that a big deal brand?
Yeah, well, it was big, and she really, I didn't have a huge amount of experience, so my boss at the time was obviously just really, thought I could do it and really supported me, but she did just chuck me in the deep end.
What were you doing?
The whole thing. I was designing it, I was pattern making it, I was coming back to New Zealand, doing the patterns, working with the sample room, back to London, meeting with Stella 3 times throughout a collection for her to sign it off through every stage. So yeah, really the whole thing. So it was a lot, but it was also, I think sometimes that's how you have to learn, someone just has to chuck you in there and you just have to do it.
Yeah, and then from there?
So after that, I worked at Agent Provocateur. And actually, just before I worked at AP, I did David Beckham's underwear, mm-hmm. Which I just did part-time.
For men or for women?
For men, men's underwear. And I actually was employed by his management company to do that line. But then just before it was going to launch, he'd been approached by H&M to do a collaboration, but pretty much every other category was taken with licenses with other people. So they said to H&M, "Well, we've developed all this underwear. We'd done the campaign, everything. Do you want to launch it?" So in the end, I just handed it all over to H&M and it just came out as H&M.
Right.
H&M, yeah. So, yeah, did that. And then I worked at Agent Provocateur for about 5 years. And after having my son, we decided to move back from London to New Zealand. And I'd only been back here for about 3 months before I got approached by the company that was launching Rihanna's lingerie line. At that point, it was still in development. And they wanted us to move to LA, but it really didn't feel like the right thing, having moved here with a young son for the lifestyle, to then suddenly move to LA. So they actually allowed me to do the line from New Zealand, but it was a lot, managing a team and travelling to the office in LA every month, to China, to the factories, to check everything, and then re-moved from New York to London. So then I was going back to London. So, yeah, I did all that and then, had a break.
Sorry, who moved from New York to London?
Rihanna.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, and so then I was travelling there for my meetings, so it was a lot of travel, and also aside from the fact that I was launching a new lingerie line, which is a huge undertaking.
It must be a bit exciting working with big names like that.
Yeah, it is good. It is exciting. You have the freedom to do quite a lot, and she's really a real visionary. She really wanted to create something quite amazing, and she... while she has her own ideas and perspective on everything, she also really likes to collaborate. So it was a pretty amazing experience. I think I'm quite down to earth though, so I don't really get too starstruck by it.
Yeah. As I remember, I don't know, I've got no interest in women's lingerie, no natural interest. Obviously, I'm interested in this conversation with you. But even I remember the launch of Rihanna's lingerie line, the imagery it was really striking, right? Was there anything particularly different about the lingerie you were creating?
Well, actually. So a lot of lines, and this probably comes back to maybe your the first question.
Yeah.
A lot of lines create, in the US, it's called straight and curvy. It's sort of the two segments, they call it. And a brand will usually do one of those. So they'll do a straight line. And if they're going to do a curvy line, they'll do it under a different label or a different masthead. She was really insistent that both of those had to come under the one label. And whilst they would never look identical, the sizes, as you got through into the plus size category, they had to be pretty similar. So you're already launching with 22 sizes from the very beginning. So Yeah, usually a brand will establish itself and start with one category and then, you know, add that on and grow. Yeah. Shea is really insistent that it had to really include everyone from the
beginning.
Because
she wanted everyone to be in the same club.
Yeah, and she had done that with her makeup line, her Fenty Beauty, and had sort of, I think, about 40 shades of nude. And so that philosophy had to carry through to the underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, if she'd away, we probably would have had like 40 shades of nude underwear, which would have been crazy.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, by the way, I'm speaking with Chloe Julian. She's a lingerie expert, and you can text your question in. Some women, as they get older, need front-closing bras because of arthritis and other issues in their hands. Leslie asks, why are there hardly any nice ones around? There are a few online, but who wants to buy a bra without trying it on?
I guess the difference with a front-closing bra is it has to have only a single row of hook and eyes. When you have the back closure of a hook and eye, you have the option of three different rows of the hooks, which really allows a really good flexibility of fit for women, especially, you know, we're not really one size all the time. Throughout our cycle, we're really changing and our bodies are moving. So having a bra with three hooks really allows, as a designer and even a customer, to have a bra that can really fit you throughout your month. But when you do shift those around to the front, and usually it is done more, I guess, for an aesthetic reason, because it can look quite nice as well, you only get one row. So it really does limit the fit possibilities of it.
Great, good explanation. Is a bra that fits D or a double D with a small frame possible? I've had to have an enormous bra, but I only need the large cups. Is my quest for a little bra with big cups a pipe dream? Texts one listener.
Yeah. No, it's not a pipe dream. It's definitely harder as a manufacturer to do the smaller underband with the larger cup. But I actually got a message from a customer that bought a bra just a week ago, and she actually messaged saying, I need your phone number because I can't write down how excited I am about how I feel. And she was a 10E, and she had bought one of our bras, the Angela bra, and she couldn't believe it. She said she'd been searching for a bra for over 50 years and had never thought she'd find a bra that she thought was beautiful and comfortable and would fit her size. So, yes, it's definitely out there. My only thing with that is, on the other side of that is, often when people just give me like a size, like a 10 double D or 10E, that could be... All brands kind of have sizing that's different as well. So it's really important to like measure yourself as well and check that what you might be a 10D in one line could actually be, you know, a C or another size in another line.
Do you sell yours online?
Yes, we
do.
Yeah.
And that must be hard, right?
Yeah, it is hard. We have because we don't have a wire, we have five sizes from extra small to extra large. But I do spend a lot of time, all the questions that come through about sizing or fit or anything, as I personally answer them and help women with working out what size they are. And we're really happy to take like exchanges or refunds if they're not right. And we're often sending stuff forwards and backwards within the post. But in the end, if we get there, the customer's so happy and pleased that we've taken the effort to get them there.
Yeah. I'll read you this text, which I think is sort of half joking or maybe being a little sexist, but I'd like your view on it. I'd like to know the answer to this question. If love is blind, why is lingerie so popular? And I think they're implying there that women are buying lingerie to look beautiful for their partners.
Yeah.
Would you like to comment on that? You don't have to comment on the wider issue of sexism in society, but maybe why women spend money on beautiful lingerie.
Yeah.
Why it's worth spending money on.
Yeah.
You've got a look on your face like this is a hard one.
It's not a hard one. It's quite a loaded question.
It is.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think in my mind, like, quickly, like, what's the best way to answer this? I mean, our name of our brand, Videris, means you are seen, and it's actually all about a woman seeing herself. And the whole kind of underlying philosophy of our brand is about a woman feeling happy with how she feels, and it's about how she feels and not about how she's seen. Mm. So that kind of comment's kind of the opposite, I guess, of how we're looking at lingerie within our brand, which is very different to how it has been traditionally portrayed. Mm. It is very much like about how a woman is seen in it and not how she feels. And I guess that kind of leads on to our whole philosophy of our brand about being comfortable as well, because it was never about being comfortable, because it didn't matter, because it was about how you looked, you know?
Yeah. Good answer. Why are there no bras in size 16B? I've got difficulty finding them. That's sort of the opposite to the person who just texted us. Yeah. So that's a small cup size and a large bra.
Yeah. That's always tricky to do a large underband in the smaller cup size. I get a lot of questions from women who are on those sort of extreme sizes. And I guess, to be honest, the honest answer of it is that most brands already do so many sizes that then moving into like the fringe, those sort of other sizes just is a bit too difficult with all the componentry involved.
So talk to me about your decision to take the wires out. That seems quite obvious, no offence, but I mean, if wires are uncomfortable, why isn't someone taking them out earlier?
Yeah.
Is it hard to do, is it hard to get the structure right without the wire?
Well, I'm not the first person to take it out there. Those bras without a wire are called a soft cut bra, and there have been soft cuts around for a long time. It's just, I think, we're so ingrained as women that we needed this wired bra from the very first moment when we go with our mum for our bra fitting. And you're told, oh, you need this wired bra and you need it for support. And then we kind of just never question it. We just don't, honestly.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was actually having my son, I wore a non-wired bra because as you do with pregnancy and when you're nursing. And, you know, I'm at the probably my largest and most changeable time. And then I'm not wearing a wire. And then suddenly, you know, I've finished all that. And it's like, well, now I go back to a wire? It just made no sense. So even for me as a lingerie designer, I'd never questioned it. But having that break in that period without it, when I went to put a wire back on, I was just, it was so incredibly uncomfortable. I went through, I was still at Agent Provocateur at the time, and I went into the cupboard and I pulled out a whole lot of bras. So I was like, oh, I've just got the wrong size. I just need a different shaped wire. I mean, most women aren't going to go to the shop and probably do what I did. And I still couldn't find something that felt comfortable. So I thought, well, you know, I don't need the wire. But unfortunately, there just hasn't really been any good non-wired options around because they're kind of, they're seen as sort of a cheaper item. And so there's sort of less thought put into it. What I've done is I've taken all the best bits of a wired bra, all the bits that you need to make it comfortable, and had them in a soft-cut bra. But most soft-cut bras can be quite juvenile or quite sporty, or you pull them over your head. So they sort of don't really feel like a bra. So I think it's more that we haven't had a good option.
Someone's texted in, they say, underwire bras were designed by the devil.
Because you get
quite sick of it partway through the day.
Yep, yeah, there's sort of this 3 p.m. feeling that a lot of women get where they just want to take it off. And it's interesting because we can be, we were at home and we're not wearing, you know, often not wearing a bra if we're at home, but then we step out the front door and it's like, oh, now I've crossed the front door and I have to put a bra on. So part of it's a comfort thing, part of it's like an expectation, I think, from society that we have to wear one. But yeah, I think that pressure that people get around 3 o'clock in the afternoon is really from it pressing against the diaphragm all day. And it affects, you know, it's pushing, it's a pressure that affects our breathing. And we just get to that point where we're just like sick of it by the end of the day and we'll take it off.
Is a bra necessary at all?
At all?
Yeah.
I think for some people, yeah, definitely need it. And some people don't. But I think it's more of a, people want to just feel comfortable, and I think it's so normal to wear one that when people don't wear one, it can be quite, they can kind of feel quite confronted by it.
Yeah.
I read something recently in a Guardian article, and she said that, you know, she'd just got used to not wearing a bra, and she'd been out, she'd gone for lunch with her mom. This was after sort of lockdowns and not wearing it. But then she said, I don't know if I went to the office if it would be frowned upon if I wasn't wearing one. You know, so that was where she wasn't sure if she could, you know, she was comfortable with it, but I guess she was questioning whether other people would be comfortable with her not wearing a bra.
You can text questions through on 2101. I'm talking to Chloe Julian, who is the founder of Videris Lingerie. She's worked in some of the biggest lingerie brands in the world, and some great questions coming through. Lindsay says, could you please ask Chloe if she has any tips on how to stop those darned underwires popping out of their casing and skewering me in a soft and tender spot? If not, does she have any tips on how to repair the problem? My experience is that the casing lasts for only a fraction of the life of the bra, and it's a real issue.
With pretty much all bra componentry, as with anything, there are different levels of quality. So I'd say maybe the brand you're buying isn't using a very good quality wire casing. Once it's popped through, you can't really do anything to repair it. But I'd just say buy a soft cut bra, then you won't have the problem.
Okay. Does cost and quality, do they tend to correspond?
I don't think so necessarily, because I don't think the consumer can often tell whether someone's used a high quality elastic, because when you're buying the bra, everything probably seems equal.
How would you know?
But then after 2 or 3 months of wearing it, you know, one bra might be fine, and another brand it might be all stretched out, and it's lost its ability to stretch back. So I think, as a consumer, you probably wouldn't know if something has been used a high quality or a low quality material.
And aside from your own beautiful brand, which we've mentioned, are there any others that are kind of like go-tos for you in terms of quality?
I think all the brands I've worked on, I'm really crazy about using like high quality elastics. For me, that's like everything, because if you don't have a good quality elastic, the whole structure of the bra is thrown out. But it's very easy, I think, for brands to use inferior elastics, and also just to use one size for every part of the bra, because from an ordering point of view, that's a much cheaper way to make it.
It's 10 to 3. Hi there, says Karen. Why are there so few beautiful ranges of maternity bras? Not even stocked in large US department stores. It's really noticeable that the market either treats women as sexual beings or saintly mothers.
Well, I actually have a 10-week baby at home at the moment.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And we're trialling our new maternity bra at the moment, developing it. It was quite funny, with our first lockdown we had in New Zealand, I called my business partner as we were walking along the beach and I said, I bet you there's going to be a huge baby boom after this lockdown. I'm going to start on a maternity bra now. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, one of my wild ideas. Let alone, I actually ended up being one of those women that got pregnant in lockdown. And so, yeah, we do have a maternity bra coming out. And you are right, there aren't many good options out there. I went to try and find it. I only had one of my own to wear a trial whilst I was, when I first had my daughter. And I thought, oh, you know, I'll just get some backups. And I actually couldn't even commit to buying something from another brand, because they just felt horrible, especially like synthetic fabrics. The straps were like really nasty and like hard and cutting in. So, yeah, something's coming. I hear you.
A couple of people have texted through the same idea, which I'm going to share with you. Could change bras forever.
Okay.
And you have to remember that you heard it here.
Okay.
So what about having one clip on the front that you can take on and off, and then the... but you keep the three clips at the back to solve those problems you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I remember Argent Provocateur, we did a bra similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could do that. The centre front is quite important as an anchor point for a larger bust. So I would be afraid that a small clip there wouldn't really give the right structure, and it would allow the cups. I think for a smaller bust that would work, but for a larger bust you'd end up having the cups moving around a bit too much or splaying out. It wouldn't really create the anchor point that you need at the centre front to hold the cups in shape to then be supported by the apex of the straps.
Good answer. Lynn would like to know if you've got any advice on getting a proper bra fitting. Make sure you got the right size.
Yeah, no, they don't really offer them so much these days in the stores. Our fitting's much easier with my brand because we don't have a wire. We just have the five sizes. And whilst we don't have a physical retail presence for women to come in and get fitted, we did spend a lot of time creating our fit guide online. So we have videos of how to measure and where to measure. We have a really comprehensive guide, fit guide as well. And then, of course, we give people the option to like email me as well. So, yeah, I think when you're measuring yourself with the tape measure, just make sure that you've got your measurements the tape measure's held quite firmly against the body so that you're getting a really accurate measurement, and probably take those measurements kind of mid-cycle, because you are changing throughout your cycle and you can be bigger and smaller at different parts of the month.
Someone asks, why can we get well-designed bras but not the equivalent in a bikini top?
Yeah, I know. We're just talking the other day. I've had so many people email me and say, can you just do this bra in a bikini top? And it's interesting because traditionally bikinis are so much more expensive than bras and yet have so much less work in them. Yeah, I'm on the same quest.
Okay. Please can you ask your guests why so many bras have scratchy labels at the back? It's a new phenomenon and it's driving me crazy. Even removing the label sometimes doesn't take away the problem, says Janet.
Just low quality labels, really. You just got to make sure that, I guess, the brand that's creating those labels is using a nice quality yarn to knit the labels.
What is the best fabric for breathability, asks one person. They get sweaty and they never dry out.
So in ours we use Tencel, which is really breathable, and it's thermoregulating as well, so it kind of adjusts with your body temperature. So I think anything with a natural fibre, which is extremely difficult in underwear and lingerie because most of it, if you're buying something lacy or with mesh or with an embroidery, is polyester or polyamide, which is basically plastic. So we wouldn't probably wear a polyester T-shirt, yet we're wearing a polyester bra. So really looking, I guess, at the care labels and making sure you're buying something with a natural fibre.
Okay, a few women who rip the wire out of bras themselves. Have you come across that before?
Yeah. Probably come across most things, Jesse.
Yeah, okay. Does it work? Would you recommend it? Well, you'd just recommend getting one without a bra, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it could work as an option. I mean, it's not really designed that way, but you could give it a go.
Okay. Someone always washes their bras in a special washing bag on delicate cycle. They last so much longer and I don't have trouble with the wire as they're protected during the wash. It's just a tip, really.
Yeah, and do up the hooks and eyes as well.
What's that?
And do up the hooks and eyes as well before you put it in the wash bag because they're going to snag on other garments or on parts of your bra. So that's really important with washing and care.
A couple of bra fitting locations suggested by listeners. Avocado in Newmarket and the Fitting Room in Christchurch, both endorsed by our listeners. How does one get on when you have one side at least one size bigger than the other?
Pretty normal, actually. And often it's the left side's bigger because of the heart muscle underneath. That's where a soft cut bra would work much better. And also making sure that you buy something with a stretchy fabric. If you're buying a rigid fabric, then if you're not filling that cup shape, then you are going to have sort of a gapey sort of look. If you have something that has a bit of stretch in it, it can accommodate those two sizes a bit better.
Kia ora to Ro, who's a member of the gender diverse community and says that we're excluded from most of society's dialogue and it'd be great to be included for underwear. I'm sure that's at the front of mind for marketers and designers in the industry now.
Yep.
Talking to Chloe Julien, who's, I'm saying Julien like in a fancy way. I think it's because I'm saying lingerie as well. anything you wanted to cover today that we haven't got to yet before I go through to more listener questions?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I love talking about lingerie. I could talk about it all day.
Are lingerie companies generally run by women?
Interesting. No. Well, in my experience, you have the design team and the marketing team and those sorts of teams run by women, but often at the head of a company in sort of those CEO positions is a man. And, yeah, it's interesting that you sort of have these men at the top of these companies that really should be woman-led. So with Vaderis, it is a woman-led company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest part about launching your own brand?
Oh, my God, so many things. I think it's one of those things, if you knew how hard it was, you might not have done it. I'm incredibly particular because I've been a lingerie designer for so long. So every component for me, I have to check and make sure it is right. And so if something is even like 5 mils off on a spec, I'm like making the factory like remake it again. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so that's quite hard. We were meant to launch in May last year. So with COVID happening in March, that was delayed by 6 months. So that was one challenge. So many things, but in the end, to have it out there and to have getting sort of messages like the one I mentioned from the 10E woman, you know, saying how amazing they find it and how comfortable they are and thank you. I mean, it's just made it all worthwhile.
Someone asked, would the right sort of wool work in a bra?
Wool?
Wool, yeah.
Do you mean like a merino fabric?
Don't know. The question comes from Wirimu, so he's really speculating, I think. But okay. I guess because you said natural fibres and people are always looking for ways to kind of save and revive the New Zealand wool industry.
I think if it was a stretchy merino fabric, you could, yes.
Okay. Someone says dry them in the shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
How long should a bra last?
Oh, I mean, it depends. It depends how many you've got and how often you're wearing it. If you've got one or two favourites and you're wearing them almost every day, that's probably not going to last as long. So I kind of always say, like, if you find a favourite, buy a couple and make sure you're alternating them every few days so they do last longer. But it does depend also, like, on how heavily you're washing them and how often you're wearing them.
Do you/should you wash after each wear?
I don't think you. Not for a bra, no.
Okay. Why do some straps slip down, asks Wendy.
Because people have used rubbish rings and sliders. It drives me nuts. I can't. So it's nothing worse than having a bra strap slip down. You've got to have a good quality elastic that keeps it doesn't stretch out of shape, and you need to have a good quality ring and slider to keep it in place.
Linda says you can you can hold down escaping underwires with a waterproof sticking plaster.
Huh. Never heard that.
Okay. Loads more coming in. It's been a great, great topic. We're out of time. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this with a 10-week baby. That's exceptional. I've been talking to Chloe Julian. Her brand is Videris. She's worked with Rihanna and Stella McCartney and David Beckham, but she's now back in New Zealand doing her own thing.